The following program does not necessarily represent the views and opinions of Reality Radio 101, its advertisers and sponsors, or its listening audience. Listener discretion is advised. Good afternoon and welcome to The Barrington Show with your host Barrington, right here on Reality Radio 101. Join our path to enlightenment with our guidance to living at your best with a path to a higher consciousness. To get on board right now, send us an email. Our email address is instudio101@gmail.com. And now, ladies and gentlemen, right to your host of The Barrington Show, Barrington.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Barrington's show. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for participating. Thank you for joining us. Today, we talk spirituality as well as philosophy. We raise you to a higher level of consciousness, allowing you to reach your full potential, giving you all the tools that is required for you to be the best you that you can be at every level, opening the doors for you to reach for the sky, or for the stars, and to be mindful that the sky is the limit, to allow you to wake up. Just wake up and use your full potential. Wake up and see the goodness in everything. Just wake up. Thank you for joining us. I'm thanking all my old-time listeners for hanging in there with us. I'm also thanking the new listeners and welcoming you to the Barrington Show that you're listening to now on realityradio101.com. Thank you for being a part of us. Thank you for giving up your Saturday. Sunday, to participate in your show. Boy, am I out of it. Okay, so it's been a crazy week for everyone all around the world, I would imagine. And it's been up and down and nail biting and wondering what's going to happen. And everybody was curious as to what was going to happen in the United States of America with their election. And it's over. And I guess somebody had to win. So someone did win. So the week's been up and down. Our weather up here has been fantastic. Right now, it's a little colder than it has been all week. It's been a beautiful week, and we're appreciating it. I hope wherever you are in the world, you're having a fantastic time. You're loving life, and you're doing what is necessary to get through and raising yourself to a higher level of consciousness so you can understand you. So, what we have in every single one of us is two wolves. We have the good one and we have the bad one. And it's our negative versus our positive, our strong versus our weak, the yin and the yang, the whole nine yards. But within us resides these two wolves. And the one that will take charge, because only one can, the one that will take charge and dominate your life in whichever direction is probably going to be the one that you're feeding. So see this in yourself, like love and hate. Which of those two would you feed? Because you know full well, whichever one you're feeding is the one who's going to be the most dominant. So it brings me to asking you this question. It's about multitasking. And is it possible for you to multitask? Well, of course it is. But are you doing both of those chores officially with the same attention? Or are you doing one while you're mindful of the other? Either way, you're not multitasking. Your mind is only able to focus on one thing at a time. One thing at a time. The same way we can only look into one eye at a time. Try it. You can't do both. And if you think you're doing both, something is being compromised. Multitask. So we go back to the love and the hate. Can you love and hate and be efficient? Can you love and hate at the same time? If you think you can, you're going to have to convince me that you could go up and down at the same time, in and out at the same time, back and forth at the same time. Either of those are possible. Do you believe the emotion that we carry of love, can it coexist with hate? Can these two wolves share the power? No. Nature would dictate only one can. So that's where we're going to start today. Those are the questions, and they're out there for you. We're going to take it and see what happens. Have we got any email there?
Just one right now. Mitch wrote in right away, and he says, "Hi, I'm a new listener from New York City." And he says, "I agree with you on multitasking. I have had so many arguments with so many people in my life saying they can do both very, very well when they try to do two things at once. It's impossible. You take the mind, for example. When you're trying to do a math problem and talking on the phone, something has to give. You cannot give 100% of your concentration on both things." And that's from Mitch.
Thank you, Mitch. And yes, that's what I was saying. That's exactly what I was saying, that you don't have the ability to equally focus on two things at the same time, or a thought, two of them at the same time. So yeah, multitasking, it sounds really cool and it's what I'm doing, but something is suffering. Something is lagging. Something is getting lesser of your attention, even if it's for a moment. What we have up here is they won't allow you to drive with your cell phone in your hand. And I find that kind of funny, because it is not the cell phone that you hold in your hand that's causing the disruption. It's the thought that you're giving to the conversation that you're carrying on while you're holding that telephone. But they're not telling you not to talk or have a conversation with a passenger. They're simply saying not holding the phone. And I just had to throw that in there, because we are just focused on one thing at a time. And if you're indulging that conversation, probably you're not paying attention to your driving, or vice versa. So the multitask thing, the whole two wolves thing, all of this is leading into one direction. Can you carry love and hate at the same time? So I'll ask you, if you truly love someone, would you be able to hurt them? Would you be able to be deceitful, disrespectful, hurt, any form of it? Would you be able to do that if you truly love someone? Or could it be the fact that we're carrying both of these things within us? Is that a possibility? Because if you truly care for somebody, you would never do anything to hurt that person. That's what I'm saying about that. So we're going to go and talk about if where the hate resides, is that where the true love should be? And is the true love being compromised simply because it's sharing its space or its room with, you know, a foreign entity? And I say that simply because it didn't show up here with you. That hate did not show up here with you. It was taught to you. And the same way it was taught to you, you can learn to get rid of it or remove it. Don't let it become your friend. The path that we were on, that was given to us by our creator, was designed to go in one direction of true love, and not to sway or to maneuver by hate. So if the path that you're on is of true love, there'll be no room for hate, and you will reach your full potential or your destination or your goal, whatever that may be. But you have to know that you cannot have room within you for two. So we talk about hate, and we talk about we have to forgive and let go. And when you forgive and you let go, you're releasing that valve that contains that hate. It's through the release and the let go. In a minute or so, I want to talk about why we hate. But as we're on the topic, it's occupying space that was reserved for something else. You have to remove that unwanted guess. And you may think it's wanted, but it's not. It is not designed, we're not designed to have that. We're not designed to carry that load. And it is a load. Imagine going out for a jog with a big log on your head. How well will you do? Will you reach that goal that you've set for yourself? You can't decide to go out jogging and carrying 100 extra pounds or 200 extra pounds because you're not doing that thing. Maybe you're thinking about multitasking. Well, something's going to give and the concentration will be on, you know, something else. So the whole idea and what I'm saying is to have the love in its own compartment that was designed for it so you could move forward and reach your full potential. This is about getting you to where you need to be, to your full potential. You're carrying around that heavy bag of rocks with you. When you have that inside of you and you go to work, for example, I'm not picking on anything, but you go to work, for example, and you just hate your coworkers. And then you go home and in the midst of portraying your love to your family, your wife, husband, whatever, you still have that hate in the department. It is still a part of your life. So are you doing both effectively? Or are you trying to multitask? This is just a question for you. Have we got anything else?
Let's see. Nate writes in and says, early in the show, you mentioned yin and yang. I've heard that term several times, and I see it as an insignia a lot of times on martial arts uniforms. What does yin and yang actually mean? And that's from Nate. And let's see here. Sue writes in, I know a lot of people that are so hateful, but yet they pretend to be nice to other people. I don't quite understand it when I know their whole world revolves around hating everything in life. What's your take on that? And that's Sue. Back to you.
Sue, you started out by saying pretending. Well, we're good at that. We're pretending at times that we're happy. And then we try to tell people that. But if you're truly happy, you're not going to tell anybody. It's not really relevant to the conversation. So people pretend, we all pretend to be something different, to be nice, to be kind, to be polite, to be honest, to be a non-cheater. We all pretend that because it's an easier task. It's an easy cover-up. It's easier to lie. We're going to take the path of least resistance on this one because it's easier to do than to live the truth. Because sometimes we've told ourselves that the truth hurts. You understand? So the pretenders or the hateful people, they're angry. And I honestly believe you're angry or you're afraid, probably both. The hateful people, angry and afraid. And times it's about changes, about differences in people, in their culture, their religion, their ways, their lifestyle, their food. But the root to that, and I was going to touch on this today, the root to that is fear or anger, both. And or a lot of it is a lot of insecurities, which goes back to fear. Like the root, in my opinion, to all these things stems from fear. It stems from fear. So if you could get rid of the fear, you feel comfortable. When you feel comfortable, you're willing to open up that department to allow the true love that resides in you anyways to expand and remove the hatefulness. But you have to take these steps towards it. So I hope I answered your question. Yin and yang. Okay, in the short form, it means the balance of each, the opposite to the, you know, opposite of each other, the good and the bad, the negative and the positive, and where one exists, the other has to exist. The yin and yang is a symbol. You see it a lot in martial arts. We see it a lot in martial arts because it talks about equality, a force, the whole force reaction. It's about equality and fairness and equal, the yin and the yang of things. It's the balance. It's a negative and the positive. Where there's a good, there's a bad. Like there's up, there's got to be down. If we go in, eventually we come out. It's the balance. I hope that answers your question. And thank you for that. Okay, so we're talking about the love and the hate for everybody. And we're trying to figure out, we wanted to say about the root. And I just touched on it a little bit. The root is caused, I said, by the differences that you may see in others that you are unaware of, that exist in yourself. You're unaware of it because we all have the same thing. Everybody who's on this planet today and they can hear what I'm saying, even if they're not hearing, we all have the same parts, the same everything, the ability to rise, to fly, the ability to allow ourselves to accomplish great things or the lesser or the other, you know, but we all have the equal parts. What's happening here is some aren't willing to use it or realize they have it so they could use it. Some are just allowing it to exist and move on. But we all have the same ability. We all have the same potential. We all exist in this planet. We're all a part of the universe, which was made the same way. Now, there are some of us or some people that are not physically, prepared. There's some people who are not able to move around. There's a whole bunch of different forms of people, tall, short, fat, skinny, you know, but every one of us is built with the same material, the same equipment. And we've come here the same way. And I've said this before, we will leave the same way. But some are not using or wanting or acknowledging the fact that they've got the ability to reach a full potential. Some or just getting through life because of what they were told. But we want to go back and talk about being afraid. And what is it that you're so afraid of? You're afraid that somebody may know the true you and you're not happy with that person. Somebody may look inside of you and see that part of you that you're trying so hard to hide. But the trained eye can see this because it's not about the words that you're using to convince me of how great you are. It's about the action that you display in the process of trying to explain that to me. The action, and you've heard this many times, it speaks greater volume than the words. So if you're so afraid that you have to hide behind this wall of anger or the wall of frustration, or put yourself in a group that makes you look tougher, put yourself in a gang that makes you sound like you're all that, you're hiding behind something. And it's that something that we're trying to find out. Why are you hiding behind that thing? Because you're afraid of something else. The differences, the change, your inability, you're afraid you may fail where others have succeeded. But if you could remove the fear, because, you know, if you look at it this way, the person that you may be envious of is doing successful, but that's probably their path. It is actually their path and not yours. So therefore, yeah, the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. That's the first time you're ever going to hear anybody say that, but it doesn't belong to you. Mm-hmm. It does not belong to you. So the fear, in my opinion, is the one that hides us, that's allowing ourselves to hide behind the true emotion. And now we generate this and we turn it into something, we label it and we call it hate. It was made up, organized. You didn't show up with it. Hate was something that was created, and I'm sure it benefits a lot of people in the short term, but it harms everyone in the long term. It does, because it's the teeter-totter that's supposed to be equally balanced. but somebody else has dumped a whole bunch of things on the other side. So the teeter-totter is no longer in balance. The teeter-totter is us, the people. We're no longer in balance because some of us are doing some things because it benefits us. But you have to be able to look at all of this and say, I am willing and able to do my part. So I will do my part. Do we have anything else?
Let's see. Just one. Garth writes in and he says, you mentioned True Love. Yes. Great song by Bob Marley. Ha ha. So that's Garth. And folks, if you just tuned in, you are listening to The Barrington Show with your host, Barrington. If you'd like to get on board this afternoon with a question or a comment, it's very simple to do. All you have to do is email us, and our email address is instudio101@gmail.com. And back to you, Barrington.
Thank you. You're listening to Barrington on realityradio101.com. I have a book out there if you like to read, Awaken Ascension Guide. It aligns you to your true purpose is what it does. It gives you the steps to get to your true purpose. It's available to you at amazon.com as well as amazon.ca. Check it out. It's a great read. You also could check us out on the email. Sorry, the webpage. HEAMI, BarringtonAwaken.com. Good information there. If you like the radio shows and you want to hear more of them, you can always go to that website and click on it, open it up, and check it out. So the shows are there, they're available, they're for you, and they're free. So enjoy and pass it on. I use a lot of analogies most of the time I'm on the radio, and it's only so everyone could relate to what we're saying. That's what we're saying. We just want people to relate to what we're be able to understand at this level, what we're trying to say. And when I'm talking about love and hate, and if you are carrying a lot of hate, when you pass it on, if you take that bucket of yours and a dirty bucket of yours and you take it down to the river and fill it up with clean water, the minute the water makes the contact with the bucket, that water is dirty as well. That's the impact. That's what I'm trying to say. So this is our show. Enjoy, hang out. Today we're talking about carrying unnecessary load. I labeled it and call it hate and doing things that we shouldn't do. We've asked the question at the opening end of the show, if you truly love somebody, would you hate them? Would you hurt them? Would you do anything to, you know, alter their path or to make them feel lesser or do anything like that? Would you do that if you're experiencing true love? And if you are doing that, what do you call what you're professing to this person? You can't say it's true love. You could say it's something else. But if you're able to do those things and be hurtful to others in any form, and not necessarily just a mate, a partner, I'm talking life, culture, religion, groups, neighborhoods, you know, you have to ask yourself, am I incapable of carrying this true love? Do I have that ability? And in doing that, you will self-realize, and that's our intent in our show. When I say wake up, it's for you to fall in a form of realization to understand who you truly are. And in understanding who you truly are, you won't be able to carry hate with you. Because it's not real. You won't be able to, the ego will settle down a lot, if not disappear. Because the ego is a great fan, a fan in the flame. He's the guy that will dangle gasoline over a flame, because that's the ego just to get a reaction. That's what it does. And we live in fear, because we're not allowing ourselves to live without hate. So step up. Step up. Now, how do you get to that spot where you want to live that life of freedom and not carry around the extra luggage, as I would call it? How do you get there? Well, first, this is a process in which you learn to love you. And in order to do that, you have to know who you are. And in order to do that, you have to know how to get to that spot to find out who you are. And one of them is by living a true and pure and a humble life. You adapt these things into your everyday existence, such as if it's not true, don't say it. If it doesn't belong to you, don't take it. If it's wrong and you're doing it, stop doing it. When you live that way, and that's hard, that's very hard to do. It takes years to practice that. I hope, you know, you guys will get there a lot faster than I did. But when you practice that, it becomes who you are. Because now you're not looking at anyone, anything, any, you know, place out there with malice or envy. You're not looking at those things anymore. You're now looking at you. You're celebrating who you are because you found the entity that represents you. And this is it. You're that person. So follow the path. When you go further along the path and you're eating right and you're taking care of yourself and you're sleeping properly and you're resting it, you're not doing anything that would harm the body, and you really cherish it and take care of it, it brings you to another part. In doing that, you may be practicing your exercises, your yoga, your walk, your meditation. And when you get to that level, then the meditation becomes so much more simple because you're not focused on a lot of different things. You're concentrating on one thing. Actually, you're not concentrating. You're just allowing the jar to come open for the entity that's within you to flow out and mix with the universe that created us. We're making a physical connection to the world that we're part of. And that's what you do. But it's a process, and it's that one step that leads to 1,000. It's the one step. So yes, and I said earlier, I was talking with a friend, and she was expressing how difficult it was to meditate. It is difficult, but it depends on where you're starting from. It is difficult. I'm not going to tell you it's easy. And this is why I would suggest that you do for 3 minutes. Sit up straight, hold your head up twice a day, 3 in the morning and 3 before you go to bed at night. And early mornings are always better time for me to meditate. I don't know if that works with everybody, but at the early stage of the day, usually around 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, you're completely refreshed. You're completely rejuvenated. The liver, the kidney, all the organs went through its process of detox or resetting itself. There you go. So you're best early in the morning. That's to my opinion. But try it out. Give it a couple of minutes. Give it 3 minutes and don't hold a thought. Just not hold a thought. They're going to come in like crazy, but don't focus on that thought. The minute you get it, you let it go. Eventually they'll come slower and slower. I don't know that I can tell you with all honesty that they'll ever stop, but the gap between becomes more extended. And that's where you start. Your 3 minutes is up. Okay, get up and go to work and have a wonderful time. And then you do it again this afternoon and so on and so forth. Eventually, it leads you into a lifestyle that now you're connected to all of your elements that exist, all the you. You're connected to you. You know who you are. And you'll appreciate that a lot more than not knowing or living in confusion or following what I call the camouflage of life. They block something to tell you another story. And if you follow those, chances are you won't reach your destination. But concentrate on finding who you are. Just concentrate in finding who you are. And when you do, you'll be amazed. You will be amazed as the differences in life. You look back, not that you should, because it's past, and man, I could have made that decision or this decision or that decision. Well, forget about it. It's past. But what you can be joyful about is the fact that the minute you wake up and you realize, now you could say, I'm going to make that decision. I'm going to make this decision because your path has become clear. The light is now on. You could see your path. I said this a few weeks back, try to play a Marco Polo with a blindfold on and somebody throwing instructions at you that doesn't speak your language. Boy, are you screwed. So you're blindfolded and you don't understand the instructions, is what I'm trying to say. Where are you going? Where will you go? Which direction? You don't know that they even said direction. So we want to go through life in our own existence and be able to see clearly, hear, and understand, because it's our given birthright. Part of the reason why we've come here is to be ourselves, to know who we are. I was having a conversation earlier this week, and we talked about the fact that we're disconnected. We're disconnected from our source. We're disconnected, especially up here in North America, where we wear shoes every day, and we're not connected to the earth as we should be. I'm not suggesting you take off your shoes and go for a walk in the snow. That is just crazy at every level. But we are disconnected from our source, because the earth was what would feed us, and we're connected to it. Many years ago, we walked around with our shoes, and we were so connected because we're attached to the source that belongs to us. Some cultures or religious beliefs believes the earth is the God that exists. It does give us everything we need. It does provide for us. As a matter of fact, aren't we a part of it? It made us. So all that exists is everything, all of us, everything that we are. So connect to your source. The idea is to try to connect to your source. And because we're not able to do it as efficiently as we used to be able, now we have to go into tapping into the mind, into the meditative source, and get your message, get your directions. Understand the person who's yelling the instructions to you to go left and know what that means, and go right and know what that means. Because your spiritual guides are desperately trying to communicate with you, but we've been so removed from that, we don't have that connectivity anymore. When I say practice your yoga, practice your staying, being honest and true and pure and humble, remove the hate. Remove all of that, and you will understand the true path that exists for you. And it's a pleasure to be to rise up to that occasion. And the growth is amazing. You now look back at things that bothered you, you're concerned about, you disliked, and realize it's just another thing that exists, and it does not necessarily mean to consume any part of your life. You do not pick up every rock you see and carry it with you. Well, how long would that last? So when you see something that you disagree with, it is just not a part of you. I'm not saying turn the blind eye to somebody being abused. That's not what I'm suggesting. I'm just saying there's just certain complications in life that you don't need to be involved with. Lighten your own load. Take off some of the weight. Travel light. And appreciate the journey that you're on. But open your eyes and wake up so you can fully see the spectrum, the beauty, the art, everything that's a part of it. Allow yourself to open your eyes to see it and appreciate it. And if you are that one, and I'm going to use that word again, hate, that carries the hate in you, look at it this way. You have a person's body and you chop off the right hand. You chop that right hand off. Don't you think the left side is going to be affected by that? For one, it'll be doing a lot more work. He caused the destruction. So, you know, a little payback there wouldn't hurt. But my point is that one, what you do to one side affects the whole of all of it. Whatever you do. So do something positive, and you can't imagine what it would be like if you're that right hand that got severed. You thought, wow, good riddance, there it goes. No, your journey just became a lot more difficult. A lot more difficult. So we have the intelligence to be able to look at that and say, okay, why would I chop off my own arm or hurt my own brother or my own sister or take from my own partner or cheat on my partner? Why would you do that? It's impacting you. The impact is you. It's on you. This is what we must realize. And this will generally put us in a place where we think compassionately about everything, everybody, every human being that walk this planet. They all tell a story, and you will be a lot better off listening to the positive side as opposed to creating something else because they're different or because it's different or because, you know, it's not in the right place. No, you're carrying unnecessary load. So the idea behind it is to try to put it down, drop it off, leave it alone. It may not even be relevant to your life. Just let it go. We talk about yoga and exercise or martial arts as something that's going to give the body a work. If you get up in years, you won't be able to go to the gym anymore and bench press 315 pounds. Those days were 20 years ago or more for me. But the point being is that we're in a different place now and we have to use what we have. And if you're getting up in age, I wouldn't suggest you go do all the running that people is doing. It's hard on the hips and the joints and everything else, and you'll pay for it one day. I believe so. But if you're just generally stretching out the body and taking good care of it and nurturing it and resting it, it's very important that you rest it and make sure it's hydrated. Make sure you're feeding it what it wants, gives it what it wants, and flush out your toxin. I say this a lot on the radio. I don't eat meat, and that's for me, and I'm not suggesting anybody, but my life has been a lot better without it. A lot better, a lot easier, less issues without it. And it just naturally shrunk back to the size where it belongs because I'm not injecting unnecessary things in there that's making it worse. So I'm saying all this to say that take care of yourself, take real good care of yourself, and make sure you nurture that body and treat it like a temple, because it is. Without it, what are you going to do? You know, and if you're not willing to put in an hour days for exercise, I guarantee you later on down the road, you'll have to put in 2 hours just to cope. So take care of it. Practice your yoga, do what is right, and live right and be fair with everybody. That's the thing. Today we're talking about love or hate and why would you carry the unnecessary baggage with you. You're listening to Barrington on realityradio101.com. There's a book out there I want you to check out. Align yourself, align to an ascension guide. Sorry, allow yourself your true purpose. Awaken an Ascension Guide. You can tell I was guessing at this. Awaken an Ascension Guide is the name of the book. You could pick it up at Amazon.ca as well as Amazon.com. The last time I checked, there was a couple left in the chapters, and I don't know where it is right now, but it's online. Amazon will bring it to you, or you'll pay for them to bring it to you, I think. So enjoy it. It's a good read. If you want to catch us on the website there, it's HEAMI, BarringtonAwaken.com. A lot of good information there for you. Every once in a while, I go in and tweak some new things. And the radio shows that you may have missed in the past, if you want to hear them again, they're still around. So check out that website. There's a couple of things on YouTube that I've done, and you could see it again if you want to. The shows are there. They're yours to listen to. They're free. Enjoy it. My purpose here is for you to wake up, reach your full potential. Don't allow anything to snag you in your journey. Wake up, open your eyes, and live the best you. Have we got anything else?
And let's see. We have an email from Annie, and she says, "Hello there, sir. I am a first-time listener from Ottawa, Ontario, enjoying your show." And that's from Annie. And let's see, Norman writes in, and he says, "I have a friend who is very hateful about most things in life, and he chalks it up to all the world's problems. A lot of the problems in the world, because of what he does for a job, he deals with a lot of people, is the reason for his madness and hatred. He says, if more people had more common sense and cared about people, the world would be a better place. So he walks around basically stating that he dislikes everybody. And that's from Norman. And let's see, Rachel writes in and says, loving the show today from Dallas, Texas. And back to you.
Thank you for loving the show. Thank you for mentioning where you're calling from. I appreciate that. We try to spread the word. I believe it's a good word, and others who follow the show also agree with me. Thank you for this from Texas. I hope all is well down there. And thank you again for being a part of the show. Norman, your friend who dislikes everybody, and I don't know this guy, but it sounds like I'm going to be a part of it if it's everybody. However, I just wondered if you've ever asked him, does he like himself? And a lot of the times we push out these negativities away from us because of something that's within us that we don't enjoy. Something that's within us that we're not having fun with. So it's easier to blame somebody else. Or to, you know, say, if it wasn't for him, I would have, you know. So it could be that. I don't know that the pressures of life make people hate. I think it's something, because hate is taught, right? And common sense is not as common as everybody seems to make it. Just apply common sense. Well, a lot of people will say, what is that? And where do I buy some of it? Because common sense is not that common. If you're unaware of it, well, you can't call it common sense, can you? If you're unaware of a circumstance or a situation, it's definitely not common because you would have had your share. Just because somebody doesn't equally measure up to all the potentials or all the things that you do isn't saying they're lesser or they're not using common sense. We all tend to do the best in life, I believe. We all tend to be the best in life, I believe, when we figure out how to do it. If a person isn't using common sense, chances are he doesn't have it or he's unaware of having it. But it's not our place to poke the bear kind of thing. It's not what we're all about. So him hating a lot of people, I can never tell you why. I've heard a couple of lines about this person, but there's issues because he's fed the wrong wolf. This is in my opinion. He's fed the wrong wolf, you know, and the right one would have been the love one. And the wrong one would have been your friend, Mr. Norman, your friend. So you pick which wolf you feed. You pick which life you live. You pick how you want to be remembered or to be recognized or to be known. You choose all that. Why would you choose to, or maybe you didn't choose to pick the bad wolf. You probably just were forced into that situation where you had to come out fighting and may as well grab something. I don't know if that's even real, but I know that we have the choice to remove that hate that we carry. We all have that ability. We have the choice. And it's not easy press a button or drink this soda or take this pill because it's moved in and it's settled in. He's not planning to leave, you know. But you have to remove him because you invited him in. I'm talking about Mr. Hate. You have to remove him. And everyone should. And, you know, I just said, if you chop off the right hand, the left hand is going to feel it. I'm telling you, you know, but the same thing falls true is when we don't practice the love and the unity, the respect, what we could have as a group. It's a sad thing because everybody's paying for that price, including you, who's doing it. You're missing out because to lift everybody up on that great giant ball of love would be the nice thing to do. Some people are not adequate within themselves about their thoughts and choose something else. So it brings you to the question, is hate an illness? Would you consider that an illness or a disease to hate? Well, if you did see a man running down the road with a log on his shoulder for the joy of it, you'd probably think he's gone mad. Probably. That's probably what I thought, or, you know. But if that's the case and he's gone mad, it means that his mind's been altered. If your mind was altered from what it should have been or could have been, then you're probably carrying something that you shouldn't. I'm not suggesting that you're mentally ill because you hate. I'm simply saying that the mind requires balance. And if you're bending it in one direction, constantly bending it in one direction, you have to, you're gonna destroy it or hurt it or fracture it. But if you allow it to be what it is supposed to be, then the task is a lot easier. That's what I'm saying. It's easier. You have to be able to use the mind as a tool to control everything that you do, because that's its job. It is the tool. If you think about it, the mind made that hammer so it can drive the nail, but also the mind made the nail and sold the thing. So it's the mind that we have to get to and make sure we feed it the right instructions as to which direction we should travel. The mind is not just going to get up on its own and start hating. You can fuel it and guide it and nurture it towards something I believe is way more positive. Part of the process, and I've said it many times, if just be honest and don't tell a lie. Don't tell lies and don't do bad things. If it's not true, don't say it. And that's the process of getting rid of the unnecessary luggage that you might be carrying. That's what I'm saying. So thank you. And we also had Annie from, somebody called from Texas. We addressed that in New York. Thank you very much for all your participation. And thank you very much for your emails. Thank you for listening to Barrington. You're listening to Barrington Radio Show on realityradio101.com. Thank you for giving up part of your Sunday to sit and listen to what we're talking about. We appreciate you being there, because without you, we couldn't be here. Thank you very much. Have we got anything else?
Oh, we just have one from Walter. He says, I'm new at yoga and I'm new at meditation. Any hints? And that's from Walter.
Okay. You've taken that first step, or I don't know what number you've taken, but you're there. And just continue doing it. You know, it is something that you will enjoy doing. I heard years ago doing yoga that it will add 25 years to your life. Now, it's not going to give you 25 years, but it's going to make you have an amazing life. 25 years or more than you would have had you not done it. And I've heard that. I don't know how true it is, but it does add good years to your life. And you know, where your body has pain or aches and all these things, if you generally practice this for long periods of time, it will realign the body. It will put the body where it's supposed to be. And it will give you the flexibility and the mobility that you need. When you're getting up in years and you're putting too much pressure on one side, and all, the body will realign itself. So yoga is an amazing thing. So is Tai Chi and Qigong and those things. They're amazing things for you to do. Not only are they good for the body, but the mind is working to repair and take care of other things that might have been out of sort because of years of practice. So it's an important thing to do, and you follow it and exercise as best as you can for as long as you can, and eat properly and take good care of yourself. We want to get the mind in such a place that you can easily move into meditation. So to answer the question, meditation is a process that takes a little bit of time. You have to allow it to happen. You're not going to be this guru meditator overnight. I don't know that, but I don't think that's the norm. I don't know that, but I don't think that's enough. Some people get in there and right away they're tuned in, they're connected to their spiritual guides, they're connected to things that they were unaware of before, and you're moving like so fast. Now, I have to say this, because I've gotten into meditative states where I'm meditating 3 hours a day, in, you know, half in the morning and half at night, and you get caught up by it. You get caught up by it, because it's like that kid in the candy store. You know, you have to be the respectable parent that says, no, you can't have 50 of those. You can have one or two, because you know what's going to happen should you allow them to make that choice and they're unable. So when I got into this, I loved it. I went at it aggressively. And I realized that, you know, for a long time, I'm walking around with this big beard and a bushy haircut and just not really engaging in my liberty here, my lifestyle here, my now life here. And when I look back at pictures of that period, I'm like, whoa, who is that guy? And look at all the hair. And you just kind of live in a place where you're more connected to the spirituality aspect of life. Okay? Because you could get there through meditation and all these things. You could definitely get there. But what I'm saying, though, is remember that you live here. Remember at all times, if you're getting into your meditation and all these things and you're getting into it really deep, make sure you remember, be mindful that you live on this planet. So you have to follow the rules of society wherever you live. You have to follow the, you just can't, you know, throw your hands in the air and says, I'm going to live a spiritual life on this earth. You have to create balance. You need a balance. There goes the yin and yang thing again. You need balance. And the spirituality just opens the door for you to see out there and not for you to run out there like a mad person and lose track of what you are grounded to. There you go. You have to have balance and you have to create the balance. So you're just going to allow yourself to get into it while you're still functional in the life that you live today, because you can easily be carried away or led away from with the spiritual guides and stuff like that. But the spiritual guide is just there to give you the information that you need to sustain your life. Walk away from this, turn around, don't do this, don't do that, and listen carefully. You know, I've heard very, very clear message, do not consume flesh. And I didn't make that up. I'm like, oh, okay. And it was easy. And the funny thing is I'm now, I started this at 16. And then I stopped for a little bit and then went back at it again in my older years. And I was told very clearly, now who's sending this message and where's it coming from? You know, and I was told spiritually not to do this and many other things. I have your attention for 1 minute. I was in a vehicle traveling for about an hour and a half, maybe closer to 2 hours. And I was so exhausted. I turned myself around, put the seat flat and went to sleep as we took off to start this journey and drove for an hour and a half. And I was woken up. It was just, they told me to get up. So I got up. I put the seat in the upright position. I clicked my belt and I said to my driver, where are we? And then boom, a car came head on and hit us. And all of this happened within 10 seconds. Me getting up, putting the chair up, putting my seatbelt on, and this is years ago, and asking my driver, where are we? And then this car was doing an overtake and hit us head on. So my point is, who's waking me up and make me put my seatbelt on? And anybody who knows me, know that I don't like putting my seatbelt on. It wasn't until I had kids and they're nagging me. That's fine. I'm flawed. However, I was woken up and told to put my seatbelt on. I did just that. And less than 2 seconds after making that click, we had a head-on collision. I was doing 100 in one direction. I don't know what the other people were doing. And my point is something woke me up. Something got my attention. Now, don't you think it's worth connecting yourself to your spirituality? And every single person out there who can hear this today can tell their own stories, maybe not that exact one, that they've had that close call. They've had that close call. Yes, I walked out of it relatively okay, little scratches here, and everything worked out fine. But from that moment on, I'll never forget that somebody woke me up, something, and told me to put my seatbelt on. And for me, it's a darn good thing I didn't say, forget it, I'm tired, give me 5 more minutes. You know, that's what we hear, 5 more minutes. No, that would have, I probably, and this is a high probability, would not be here to tell you that story today. So that's how that went down. Listen to the guides, they're there for you. They'll never disappoint you, put you down, or take from you. Unless it's unnecessary or it's causing you danger, take away your drinking and take away your smoking and take away your drug abuse or your abuse of anything. That's what they'll take away. What they'll add to you is fulfillment, courage, strength. And all of that being taken away, there's no fear. And I wanted to go into talking today about what we do to ourselves by carrying fear with us. It's like going for a swim with an anchor. Can't do that. You're not going to make it. Something's got to give. That anchor is the root to a lot of the things that we talk about in life or what we go through is just the fact that we're afraid. And we're also afraid of dying. I've said many times, we don't die. We go through what is called rebirth. The body is too old to carry on. I lay it down. I get a new one. And Bob's your uncle. You just keep going again. You just keep going again. Because you're an energy. You're part of this universe, who, in my opinion, has always been. But you just go again. Remove the fear. Stop yourself from being afraid. The tool is the mind. You control that. That is under your control. You tell it what to do and be very stern in doing the telling. And it will do it. But if you choose to throw yourself over the barge, the body is going to follow you. So why would you plant rocks, plant roses, orchids, you know, beautiful flowers, trees, love relationship. Plant those things and you will reap what you've planted. Whatever you sow, so shall you reap. So the ideas of not being fair or liking others, it's costing you. You are carrying that heavy load and you won't reach the full potential. Now you may be very high up there, but can you imagine if you were to cut that string or lighten the load? The gentleman who emailed in and says, Bob Marley's, it's One Love. He said, One Love, that's his song, One Love. And that's what exists here for us. Have we got any anything else?
Let's see. Shane writes in. He says, that's a remarkable story about the accident. You're lucky you weren't killed. You talk about our guides waking you up. Wow. That's from Shane. And lastly, Rita says, thanks a lot for the insight today. I really enjoyed the show. Thanks for the advice. And that's from Rita.
Rita, thank you for listening to the show, and I hope anything I say that could benefit your life or improve your life, you will take it and run with it and share it as you possibly can. Thank you. We're winding up. We're going down the last minutes, so I'm going to go through this quickly. So thank you again for being a part of the show, and I hope whatever you take away from it will benefit you, and more importantly, we'd love for you to share it. Just share it with others. If you have a good idea, if you've got a fantastic story to tell, please share it. Shane, yes, the guides woke me up and they told me to get up and sit up. And I choose from that moment on to make sure I hear them clearly and listen and respond to what they're saying, because they know more. They see the bigger scope. I tend to think they know from the day you've stepped on the planet till the day you've fallen on the planet, you are... they have the ability to see, and they have the ability to guide you, maneuver you through all these places and things that you go through life. Yeah, so I'm lucky to be alive. It's my only one car accident, and that was in September 9th, 1995, 8:30 p.m. How could you possibly forget something like that? So anyway, yes, you follow the guides. They will guide you. They will teach you. They will take care of you. I'm going to wrap up the show right now. Thank you for that email. I appreciate it. We'll talk next time. But I'm going to say before we go that please, you hold it to yourself to see what other potential levels are that you could reach to. You have this ability to stand up. Stand up and be the best you. And that's what we say when we say wake up. Is take your life back in charge and don't allow others to dictate to you of how you should live. In my opinion, it's just absolute BS. Thank you very much, everybody. We'll talk next week. Thank you for joining our show. Have a good week.
Thank you for listening to The Barrington Show with your host, Barrington, right here on Reality Radio 101.